Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in Dot Zack Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, so come by, check it out, and pick up some new music. They have a great local selection, as well as all your favorite national acts. And check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and different things, and tickets and shows. And so follow along. It pays to support. Also, this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lou Fest. So check it out. If you're over at Lou Fest this year, be sure to visit and say hey and pick up some new records from all your favorite Lou Fest artists. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is a very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh, yeah. This is the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it.
Hey, this is Dave Anderson with Tritone Guitars and The Lab, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Gaslight Studios here on the Hill with Dave Anderson.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is very, very cool, very exciting. We just met a few minutes ago, actually. Yep. But, you know, we kind of been talking a little bit through the internet and getting to know each other a little bit. But I thought this would be fun if we can hang out and talk and get to know more about what's going on with what all the stuff you're up to.
Cool.
I guess, I know very little about what you do. I know we just kind of became friendly a while ago. So, but I know, pretty heavily involved with guitars. I know that part.
Yes. All things guitar.
Yeah. Playing and working on them and all kinds of stuff, right?
I play guitar. I do a lot of freelance work. You might see me in other bands. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. So I play pedal steel with a lot of bands, play guitar, banjo, mandolin, whatever else. And I repair guitars. I have my own business repairing guitars and doing the occasional guitar build.
Yeah. Did all that guitar stuff start at a very young age then?
It did. Yes, I attribute it all to Gabe DeWaren, who's a local musician here in town. And Gabe plays, lately he's been playing with Ellis Express with Drew and the boys.
Yeah, Neil.
Or the guys, yeah. Drew and Neil and those guys. And Gabe and I were childhood friends, and his dad had a 67 Gibson 330 that used to hang on the wall. His dad worked at a quarry. So his dad would go to work, and immediately as he pulled out of the driveway, we would pull down the guitar that we weren't supposed to touch and start playing the one power chord we knew, and then we would play it through his terrible solid-state amp and record it on our Casio SK-1 so then we could take that sample and then play songs with it. So that was the start of the guitar fetish for me. I went home and said, I have to have a guitar. I have to. And I'll play every day, and I'll never ask. You'll never tell me to practice, and I'll always do it. And so I got a guitar for Christmas, and I've had one ever since.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I don't know. I've told the story a little bit before, but like a lot of people always ask me if I play or if, you know, and all this different, because I'm a big fan of music. But the closest I got to ever like playing anything, I went like sixth grade. They had they started a school band, and it was pretty much open thing. And right. I said, well, I'll give it a shot. Some of my friends were doing it, and I went in there, and I tried cornet for a bit.
Yep.
and it wasn't very good. I mean, and my teacher was like, well, you can either, you know, practice and try really hard, or you can go back to gym class. And I was like, all right, I'll see you later. I was like, I was much more suited for football and basketball. I did which I, you know, I excelled at being my size. And
I was not suited for football or basketball, as anybody who's seen me in person can attest. I started playing cornet when I was in grade school, and then switched to guitar when I was 13, and just played it ever since. Toured in bands in my 20s, out of high school, and then took an apprenticeship building guitars, and years later had my own guitar repair shop, and I'm a hustling musician.
Right. What were some of those bands?
I was in a band called Caution Horse for a while that toured with Wilco, and or played with Wilco, and we didn't really tour, I guess. We toured around. We were in that insurgent country phase or wave of the 90s. I was in a slew of St. Louis bands, Magnolia Summer, the Mayday Orchestra, Grace Basement, Old Lights. There's others, you know.
Yeah.
And Tenement Root, that was my wife and I's band. Then just seemed to be sort of a tag along with a handful of other bands.
Right. Yeah, I know I've seen Old Lights, and I know some of those names for sure.
Old Lights, I did one summer with them, and that was the year we played Lou Fest, which is considering this weekend is Lou Fest.
Yeah.
We did, I think it was the second year of Lou Fest, and that summer I played with them. They were sort of in-between guitar players. I was a fill-in. Mm-hmm. Played on the album at that time and did a few dates.
Yeah. So you got into building guitars. Like, where, I don't know, that's a crazy thing. Like, I don't know how I would even start with that. Like,
yeah, it is a crazy thing. Yeah. It's actually a pretty saturated market. There's a lot of people that do it.
Right.
And I don't know if I recommend people take that line of work. That's sort of a uphill battle to build guitars for a living. I'd got an apprenticeship with a guy named Bill Mall down in Springfield, Missouri, and we built archtop guitars for John Pizzarelli, who was probably the most noted artist. And I worked with him for 4 years and built guitars long enough to realize I don't want to build guitars for a living.
Yeah.
And I came back and worked at a local music store for about 10 years, running their repair department, and then started just doing it on my own.
Mm-hmm. What, I don't know, like... So you actually did get to do, like, fabrication and stuff?
Yeah, they were all hand-built.
Yeah.
So it was, like, bending the wood sides, you know, on an iron. Right. And you know, you built them in a form, and it was all a lot of handwork.
Right. But you had enough in that 4 years, you're like, it's not...
Yeah, it didn't seem like a good business model. I honestly just like to play a lot.
Yeah.
And you really got to be married to the shop to do that successfully, I think. So yeah. I opted out.
Right. So how long have you since been working for yourself then, repairing?
Tritone Guitars has been going on for about five. It'll be 5 years actually this month, yeah. I think.
And right here in St. Louis, if you're if you don't know, you can reach out to Tritone Guitars and get your Dave will help you out.
Yeah, I guess I should be plugging the day job.
Yeah.
Yes, come on down to Tritone Guitars. Bring your guitars. Crazy Dave's ready to work on them. Yeah, I work out of my. I just work out of my residence, and I just have a shop in my basement, and mm-hmm. I work by appointment. People come by, and I've gotten to know a lot of musicians over the course of the last few years, which was kind of like the catalyst for me to do the lab sessions that we've been doing at Gaslight, which I'm sure you're going to segue into, or maybe I just did.
yeah, we got. Like I said, we are... excuse me.
Shane is drinking from a pitcher of water,
hey,
by the way.
Gotta stay hydrated.
If you've never seen Shane, and he's standing next to me, he looks like a linebacker, and I look like an extra from The Wizard of Oz. So I'm drinking from a cup, and Shane's drinking from a pitcher, as
yeah.
It should be.
All right. like I said, we are here at Gaslight, which is not a coincidence. We are here because you have a show coming up here, which it also happens to work out. This is a great spot to hang out anyway. But
it is. You wouldn't believe what's going on around here right now. I guess they're rehearsing in the back for Lou Fest for the Chuck Berry tribute they're
going
to do
on?
There. That's what's going on
oh,
back
man.
There. Yeah. So if you go back there, there's like tons of amps and stuff. I think just the house band is working on it right now. So they'll bring in Huey Lewis. And
I'm sure some of my friends are back there because I know, like, speaking of that, Adam Huckey and
right.
Aaron Chandler and Big Mike Aguirre, all these guys are buddies of mine that are playing in the –
right.
I think Kevin Bowers, I think he's also
I believe
on that.
So, yeah.
Along with – you know, Captain Kirk from The Roots and Huey Lewis and all these
right.
All these all-star players. So I'm not able to make it to Lou Fest this weekend. That's the biggest. I'm really bummed about missing that. I think it would be very cool to see my friends get in the jam with those guys and stuff. So like I said, we are here at Gaslight. The lab is what we're talking about that we want to get into. And that's this is like a monthly show you're doing now?
It's a monthly show, although we took a few months off over the summer. And it started out of J.B. Anderson, who owns Gaslight, and I were hanging out and talking one day. And he said, why don't you do something? And I said, well, I don't do anything. In other words, I don't, you know, I'm usually the side man. I don't usually perform on my own. And he said, do something instrumental. And then I thought, wow, would you really give me a date to just do whatever I want? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I kind of thought about it for a bit, and I thought, well, what have I not done, and what can I do that doesn't require any rehearsing, and that I can do totally on the fly, that is very minimal on the work effort on my part, which sounds very lazy, I admit, but I'm just limited on time, I feel like, and as we all are. So I thought, well, it'd be kind of cool to an improvised project. That's something I've never really done before, but I have an admiration for. And so I asked a few musicians, a drummer and a bass player friend of mine, Vijay Rao and Andrea Morris, if they'd be interested in just playing as a trio with me. And we'd just come in and no rehearsal, just improvise and see what happens. And they were game for it. And by the time we started, by the time the date came about, I'd already booked the second date, which was with the Manus Brothers. And it started, the idea started to take form more, where it was a concept that we would always use new musicians each month. We'd break it into two sets. We would try to get musicians from the audience to come in and play on the second set. The key was there was no rehearsing. And hopefully it was musicians that hadn't played together with each other. So not that it was uncomfortable, but that it was challenging and you were kind of forced to listen. You weren't in your comfort zone. There's a difference, I think. And it the first, and then we would record everything in the studio. So Gaslight's sort of ideal because the way it's arranged in the studio, you have a bit of a disconnect where there is an audience, but you're not required to perform a show so much. You know, when you end a song, you don't hear the immediate applause and then die down and then silence.
Right.
It's more, you know, you're in one room and they're in one room and they're watching you in your room, but you can't really see them very well and you're not really thinking about them in their room. So you do end up doing your own thing. And that, I think, is a little more conducive for recording purposes. So we did the first one and it worked out really well. We did about 3 hours worth of music. And then the second one with the Manus Brothers, they pulled in Kit Hammond, and we doubled basically what Jake and Dave do. So it was Dave and I on guitar and Jake and Kit on drums. And we got about 3 hours of music out of that, too. And I kind of thought that would be more them doing their songs and us trying to play along with them. And it really did turn into sort of a improvised, you know, a lot of tension and release. And it's the kind of thing where you can take, like, the first hour. And I sent you clips.
But yeah.
You know, you can listen to it. And it's almost like listening to an album where if it was all just rock, 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 you'd get pummeled and be like, okay, after 15 minutes, I'm done with this. Or if it was just slow and drawn out and spacey, shoegaze stuff, it might get old after a while. But there really is sort of a roller coaster ride of rock and then release and rock
totally.
And then sort of ambient sounds. And it moves back and forth like that, and it's really cool. It's a really what's been happening is really cool. So,
when you're doing that, are you like you guys giving each other any signs or
you're no? I mean, you really are working off of what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Manus Brothers, it was hard. If you've never seen the Manus Brothers, they're I wouldn't call them a quiet band. I would call them, you know, they're loud. They have a higher stage volume than average, I would say. And so, you know, double that with two drum, you know, another drummer and another guitar player, then you have an extreme volume level.
Right.
And I felt like, in a way, it was the kind of thing where we played and we got done 2 hours later and took a break. And I thought, well, I don't know what that sounded like at all because I couldn't hear myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you're doing it. You're in the moment. I don't want to say you're reaching a higher plane of consciousness or whatever, but I mean you're working on autopilot in some sort of fashion, and you really can't hear well, or I couldn't, you know, but then you listen back to the recording and it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Like things are really going well, and it's really some good music that was made, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what you sent me. I got to, you know, like I said, I listened to. Good chunk of that set with the Manus Brothers, and
yeah.
I really liked it. You know, especially, I mean, I'm a big fan of singer songwriters, so I do love the lyrics and the vocals and stuff. But you know, so sometimes it's a little harder for me to just listen to an instrumental.
Right.
But I did find, like you're saying, it did have, you know, highs and lows throughout this whole thing. So it did keep me engaged. You know, it wasn't like, you know, doing the same song for
right
half an hour or whatever. So.
Yeah, I didn't really want it to be like a blues jam. No offense to blues jams, but I mean, I wanted it to be a little more, I don't know, a little more expansive than that. I wanted to see, you know, I'm a big fan of Nels Klein. I'm a big fan of Mark Rubeau, John Zorn, musicians like that. But that stuff I've never really had the opportunity to play before. And so this project kind of, you know, that's sort of where my head is. Regardless of what band comes in to play or who the musicians are, I kind of want to reach that level where people are really listening to each other and exploring sonic space, you know, not thinking, you know, theoretically, what am I doing or where's the song part at this point, but just listening and playing off each other.
Sure. Yeah, you were kind of talking about a little bit of the disconnect being the glass, you know, for the audience out there. And I've been on the other side of the glass. I've never, like, again, I don't play. I've never been in here besides I did do JB allowed me to host my 300th episode over here. So nice. I did record did a live podcast in front of an audience with Cavo, which was a lot of fun. And but I've been on the other side of the glass watching some shows, and I always feel like we should have a microphone too piped in for you guys to listen to us clap, because everybody
yeah, you don't hear yeah, that. You don't right, hear the yeah. response. And I think what happens with the lab is that the song never really dies.
Yeah.
So you hear, like, you'll hear everything die down to the point of just one person is making feedback, or the drummer is just like hitting the ride snare, or excuse me, the ride cymbal, and then it will come back up, and it will move into the Chuck Berry song, sorry. And then it'll move into the next song, you know. And I think that's partly because we aren't super conscious of what the audience is doing.
Yeah.
So hail rock and roll.
Yeah. Well.
I think it just adds to this.
So yeah.
I'm cool with it if you
want. Right. I think hopefully if people are hearing it, I think it's picking up pretty good, but sounds good, though. I think that's Big Mike singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so we do have a date coming up for the next lab.
We do.
And that's the
21st, I believe. September 21st?
Well, 21st, yeah. At 8 p.m., that's what I...
At 8 p.m.
That's what I...
So, this time, I've been wanting to do a show with Tommy Halloran. Years ago, I did a Tom Waits tribute show at Off-Broadway, and I pulled it. I think I had, like, 12 bands, and Tommy was one of the bands, or one of the artists. And it was a lot of fun, and way too many bands for one night, and I sort of learned some lessons. But I'm a huge Tom Waits fan and a huge Tommy Halloran fan.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it'd be cool to do Tom Waits, but pull a band together that hadn't rehearsed, really. So we'll just sort of spring the tunes on them, and hopefully there'll be that slack key circus noir vibe that, you know, that Tom Waits has, that we can get out of the band just kind of slowly keeping up with Tommy's vocals and Tommy leading us through it. Excuse me. So I'm really looking forward to it, and we've got some... I haven't got the whole list of musicians. I believe Cale Kirby on drums and Vides is going to be there, and Tommy's grabbing a few other musicians for us, some horn players and keyboardist, and I'll be playing guitar. I'll be doing my best Mark Rubeau impression.
Yeah.
And then Tommy and I think John Bonham as well may come in and sing some stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
So
with that particular show being more you know not as improvised, but are you going to have like a set list then, I guess, that night?
I think what we're going to do is we're going to divide it up into three or four eras of Tom Waits. Tom sort of has signature, like the early years, the mid years, the later years, and we're going to divide it up like that and then pull five or six songs from each era. And Tommy will have the set list. I don't know yet if we're going to chart out the stuff for the band. I'd rather not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may tell them what the songs will be and what keys we'll do them in and let them listen to the songs a little bit, but then I'd really like to just play off the cuff for the first time.
Yeah.
Through it. You know, that's the idea.
All this reminded me a little bit, I don't know if you've been able to catch a show, but Sean Cannon does Wednesday nights.
I know Sean.
Yeah,
I work on his guitars.
Yeah, Sean's become one of my... you know, a good friend down there working with him at Oyster Bar every Wednesday night, and you know, he does his, the voodoo players, and
right.
always bringing in a handful of different players, and a lot of them, you know, some of the guys play together, but then it's fun when he introduces other people where that's their first time getting to play together and stuff, and like
right.
And but anyway, that similar type of vibe, but kind of what your message is. Nice to that we're kind of bringing this community together a little bit, introducing some other players to each other and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, for me, it was a key. The key was to get people that normally don't play together. You know, everybody sort of knows everybody on Facebook or on social media, and we all like each other's stuff, and sometimes we go see each other's shows, but the opportunity to play with one another is not so much. I feel like I have a unique sort of position because a lot of people bring the instruments, so I kind of have my thumb on what's going on with everybody, you know. And usually they'll bring stuff right before they have an important show
sure.
or something. And then I get asked to play a lot on stuff, whether it's recordings or, you know, CD releases and that sort of thing. So, you know, I sort of have this Rolodex or catalog of people that have come through my life, and I just thought it'd be cool to pull these people together and try unique situations or, you know, a unique show each month where they don't have to put a lot of effort into it, you know.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot of rehearsing or you got to do this or do that. Just show up, and it's a Thursday night and play and, you know, just have fun.
For sure.
So that's what we've been doing, and I want to make it different each month. So, you know, I won't always showcase a band or the month, what we're looking at for October, which we may push off, I don't know. It sounds like it's going to turn into a big show, but I have a big idea to do with Drew and Neil and those guys from LS Express.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should talk about it or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I pitched to them doing a sort of a variety show. So we picked up a sponsor for this show and the future shows, Heavy Riff Brewing Company out of Dogtown. And so with Heavy Riff on board sponsoring, that's enabled us to get Matt McAlrath and Outlaw Media to do video for the shows and to live stream everything. So now we have not just the audio, but we're going to have the video portion of it as well, which is really cool. Which means I'll have to like bathe and change clothes and like
right.
look presentable. But what is cool is, you know, I thought we could do sort of like the old Hee Haw show or Porter Wagoner, where we could build a variety show. We could build sets in here or a set. They just happen to have a fabrication shop in the back, you
yeah.
know. And I thought, you know, we'll let Drew MC it. We'll put LS Express as the house band. I'll play along with them. And we'll get local musicians to come in and do their songs just like artists would come in and do those shows. And we'll do it live and unrehearsed, just like they did back then. We can even do commercial spots for sponsors and write jingles for them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He sounded pretty excited about it. I got real excited just kind of planning it off the cuff. And I think that's something we're going to try to put together in the next month or two for the next lab.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
It sounds pretty fun, really.
And I mean, anything with Drew and Neil, like, it's going to be highly entertaining. So those,
right? Well, he was like, I don't really know what I would do. I'm just more of an entertainer, and you know, I just off the cuff can play, you know, hours of songs. And I'm
yeah.
like, well, you should host it. You should be the MC, you know, sort of, you know, and maybe we'll book a comedian for a spot, and we'll book five or six different people. There's artists that I haven't worked with that I would like to see, you know, and some that I have worked with, but not very often, you know. I love the River Kittens. I love Emily Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see bands that, you know, just people that I haven't had a chance to work with that I have respect for, pull them in and let them play with a house band. But the focus will be more the live stream and the live TV version of it. So
yeah,
we'll really run it like an hour long show.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fantastic.
Either that or it will be terrible. It'll be a horrible idea. Nobody will like it. We'll never do it again.
Yeah.
We'll lose their sponsorship.
I do love that though. The idea, like, I mean, the fact that like we do have so many. We have so many great artists. Obviously, you know, we mentioned a few here, but like the city's packed full of amazing players.
It's crazy how many amazing artists and musicians are in this town.
But I love that people are getting creative, doing different stuff. I mean, the fact that we have all the technology right here at our fingertips, we could do something like that. You could do a live TV show from the Gaslight. You could do whatever. I mean, you know, it's just fun that people are getting creative and having some fun with it, and you know, and happen to be getting to do it with a bunch of buddies too. So like, So I think that's it's really fun. It's exciting times that we are living in right now. So
in that respect, yes. Yeah. Well, I would say it's exciting all around, but in a positive way. In that respect, yes. No, I agree. You know, I mean, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And really, it's sort of an epiphany of events where I met JB through an expo that I've done in the past, the Tritone Expo, which was sort of a local gear and local music company expo. That's how I met JB. He was just starting. He kind of showed me this place and was like, it's a bar and it's a studio. And I was scratching my head going, yeah, that's weird. It's a bar and a studio. That's unusual.
Yeah.
But now I see all the potential for it. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do here you can't do anywhere else. And that shows. That's why you got, like, you know, artists from Lufest practicing in the back room for a Chuck Berry tribute, because they can't really do this anywhere else. And you know, I mean, literally, there's people drinking out front. Right. We're doing a podcast in here. Mark's mixing something in the control room. Yeah. And then those guys are rehearsing in the back. I mean, it's like Music Central, right?
For sure.
Spoon's going to be in here on Saturday. I don't know who else is coming. There was a band in earlier today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just always hopping here. It's just been a hotbed for cool stuff going on.
Definitely.
So yeah. I feel lucky to be a part of the Gaslight community or what's going on here.
I agree. I've been very fortunate to be associated with everything going on over here, and I'm thrilled.
When Heavy Riff Brewing Company picked us up, I was amazed. I couldn't believe, like, somebody wanted to sponsor the show. Yeah. I was like, this is great.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty appropriate name, too, for...
Yeah, I didn't really get it at first. When he told me, it didn't really dawn on me. And then I came over and I said, well, I got to try some of the beer because, you know, I don't know how I feel about being sponsored by a beer company if I don't like the beer.
Yeah.
And then I saw the pool handle and I was like, oh, Heavy Riff, like guitar riff. Well, that's appropriate. And then the beer was good, so that was even better. So
nice. So
serendipitous.
Yeah. Or will they? Will we have some cold beverages at the lab show?
I don't know how they're handling, if they're doing any specials. I would imagine. I'm not going to speak for them. I don't know if they're doing any specials for the lab show, but they are a sponsor for the lab and are helping us with production for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all the staff and musicians will be able to partake in some Heavy Riff brew.
Right. Nice.
One of the cool things that we're doing, I don't know, again, I may be talking out of turn. I've been working with a company called Metlin Guitars out of St. James, Missouri, and they make these aluminum-bodied electric guitars, and I play one. And I talked to them and said, you know, these guitars are machined out of aluminum, the bodies are. I said, can you do a guitar that has, like, our logo in it, or maybe our logo and Heavy Riff's logo? And they were like, oh, yeah, we could totally do that. So they're going to build us a guitar that has Heavy Riff Brewing Company's logo in it and then Gaslight the Lab logo. In it, and that will be sort of our centerpiece for the lab shows. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Nice little visual to go with everything, too. I did, you know, you're talking about, like, some of the gear expo things, you know, meeting JB, then I do recall seeing a video of you here in the studio. I think you were...
For Magnetone Amps and K-Line guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something I did with Matt McAlrath and Vijay Rao. I've done product demo videos for companies over the years for Eastwood Guitars and Taylor Guitars and a few pedal companies. And I just had the opportunity to do one for Magnetone, is a pretty major amp company that's based here in town. They're right close to my shop. And then K-Line Guitars is a hand-built electric guitar company that I've worked with for years, and they're here in town. And I kind of had the idea last fall to do a video that they could use for their winter trade show at NAMM in January. And so Matt was on board, and we got together, and we did. He put together this, you know, nice long reel, and we did different playing styles and played a few different guitars and went through some amps, and it was really cool.
Yeah. So they just approach you and they want you to...
I actually approached them. Okay. I kind of wanted to do it. And I used to work a little bit with Magnetone and their social media, and I've worked with Kaline off and on, helping him build at times. So it was something where I saw the opportunity to make it work, and I thought, you know, this might be cool and have legs. And, you know, we may do more videos for Magnetone at least. I work with Magnetone pretty closely. There's so many good amp companies. There's tons of builders in this town. It's super crazy. St. Louis Music used to be out of St. Louis, obviously. And when they sold in the early 2000s, I think there were a lot of people that had skills that were sort of displaced and just out there. And with the age of the internet, they started building their own companies. And there's a handful of amp companies, a handful of guitar builders, a handful of pedal builders, just all within the St. Louis area, mm-hmm. that are really doing well. But Magnetone is probably one of the, I mean, Neil Young uses their stuff, Brent Mason. I mean, they have a laundry list of artists, yeah. Billy Gibbons. And they literally are down the street from my shop. So they've been real willing to loan out amps and to... let people try their stuff and backline. They did backline for Undercover Weekend that Mike Tomko put on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a part of that. And they're going to, even with like Spoon this weekend, they're backlining for that. And they usually backline for the lab, too. You Very know, cool. Justin Mills also is here in town. He mills custom amps, and we're going to be using his stuff and Longbeard amps out of Waterloo. I mean, you know, you try to give everybody some time, and, you know, there's so many good builders in this town.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep up
for sure. Yeah, talking to mention like Billy Gibbons and these guys. Like, I was hanging out one night. I got to record with Jimmy Griffin over at Killer Vintage,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling me stories about some of the clientele that comes through there and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. It was just such a, you know, it's so cool to, you know, just, I don't know, just. I guess I was naive or something, but like it's kind of crazy to think that like a little place here in St. Louis is getting, you know, Billy Gibbons and Keith Urban and Peter Frampton, all these guys coming through the door. And
I'm in there a lot because they're right close to the shop, and I buy a lot of parts from there. And then they're seeing people, and I saw Jay Maskus there. I saw Jay Maskus come in one time and was looking around. And then another guy came in, and then, I swear, he asked to see the Jay Maskus signature guitar that was on the wall while Jay Maskus was standing right next to him. He obviously had no clue who Jay Maskus was. And he literally was like, can I see this Jay Maskus, you know, jazz master? And Jay Maskus didn't even, like, pay attention to him. Yeah. Wasn't even on his radar that the guy asked that. And we were just looking at each other like, Did he really just ask that?
Yeah.
Right by Jim Askus. But
that's like one of those like hidden camera shows.
Right.
You know, like.
And we were just like, you can see it.
Yeah.
I went in one time and Bob Dylan's band was in there, just hanging out. I went in there one time, Chris Stapleton was in there. You know, I mean, you never know who you're gonna see in there.
Yeah.
You know, Jack White's been in there, and I mean they're close to all the venues, so they seem to, you know, when somebody cool is in town, they're there.
For sure.
And with Magnetone down the street, a lot of times artists, you know, like Steve Miller came to town, and he was down at Magnetone, and then he comes up and is in the store, and there he is, the Joker.
Yeah.
You know? You know,
so. Yeah, that's just cool to me. Like, you know, these... It'd be pretty wild to be, like, hanging out or, you know, walking in there and see some of those guys and just, you know, guitar shop in St. Louis. And,
yeah. Joe Bonamassa walked in one time, but he didn't look like him. Like, he was dressed normal.
Right.
And I saw him, and I took a double take, and I thought, that guy looks familiar. And I went back, and I'm like, all right, who's that? And I'm like, that's Joe Bonamassa. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And the only thing I think was, he's much shorter in life than he is in his pictures and videos.
Yes.
But
somebody was telling me about that, like, Steven Tyler, too. Like, I don't know, I just always kind of picture to meet a little taller, but
No, I don't think so.
But my friend said on him, he went audition for American Idol, And, you know, he was one of the judges that season.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's only like 5'7 or something, or 5'8, whatever it is. I was saying, I was like, he just.
That's tall to me. being 5'2. 5'7. I'd take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. His guitar tech, Aerosmith's guitar tech, lives in West County, actually. Bobby Schneck.
Yeah, Bobby, yeah. I haven't met. Senior, but Junior is a good friend of mine.
Cool.
I got to know him through
the new album. Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I was really impressed.
I'm excited to get a hold of one. I pre-ordered it, so
nice.
I haven't got to listen yet, but I met Bobby Junior through playing with Devin Allman and everything. So you toured around with Devin for a few years and things. So
yeah,
we became good buddies.
I don't know how I met Bobby Senior. Yeah. I guess we met on social media or something, but he's brought guitars over to be refretted and different things, and we've kind of become friends, and we stay in touch.
Yeah.
But he's one of the true rock stars, or, you know.
Yeah.
He does it. He's out on tour with those guys, you know, making it happen.
Yeah, I think he just posted a picture the other day with Aerosmith, Steven Tyler and stuff. And, but yeah, do you have any of that kind of clientele besides,
you mean like famous people?
Yeah, you ever get to work on anybody's guitars?
I did work for Dweezil Zappa at one point, which was cool.
Definitely.
You know, we kind of hung out in his dressing room and talked about Frank, and he refers to his dad as Frank, and he had some interesting stories, you know. You can tell he has a great love for his dad and what he's done, and Dweezil's a real down-to-earth guy.
Right.
He's just like, he's a guitar player's guitar player. He is as into guitar and playing guitar as any other aspiring guitar player. It's not like you're talking to, you know, my shit don't stink guitar player. You know, he's just as hungry to learn more guitar than anybody else, as anybody else.
Yeah.
I've worked on, you know, a lot of probably what I would consider mid-level band guitars, I guess, you know. Ume, who's been through town a few times, I work on their stuff usually. They've been to Lou Fest a handful of times. Lucero, I've done stuff for them.
Nice.
Hayes Carl, worked on some of his stuff. Dark Star Orchestra, worked with them. Usually it's a last-minute kind of thing where I'll get a call from, you know, somebody like Brad Sarno or somebody, or KVHX will call and say, hey, we have this artist and they need something done today, can you help out? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So
nice.
You know, cool. Try to work it out.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's kind of more my alley there, the Lucero and Hayes Carl and stuff.
Yeah.
I love a lot of that, you know, kind of Americana and a lot of that music, singer-songwriter stuff again.
Like sure, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I got to, well, actually one of the coolest nights, like, I got to Ben Nichols and John Moreland solo acoustic thing, and like just two of them hanging out playing songs, and it was a really really cool night over at Off Broadway. But
I love Off Broadway.
Definitely, yeah, great spot.
I have a bunch of shows coming up. I haven't played there in so long. It's just worked out that way. I don't know why. And it seemed like I was playing there every weekend for a long time, and then I haven't been there in ages, and I have like a handful of shows coming up in the next few months for the rest of the year, really, and I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah.
I miss Steve Pullman and everybody there.
Sure. Who are those shows with?
I'm going to be playing at least one, maybe more shows with the Town Cars. I'm going to be playing with Jenny Rogues and Mac Pace. There is going to be a Glenn Campbell tribute that John Henry's putting on that he's asked me to do. Jenny's doing the Dolly Parton show that she did at Undercover Weekend in December. I'll be playing on that. So there's a handful of shows.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. It'd be nice to see some other stuff too going on. I guess those are more one-offs. Are you doing any? You don't have anything like regular band stuff going on right now?
No.
Just kind of focusing on the lab and the
lab. The lab is something I can handle, right, you know, on the sidelines without really leaving the shop. People will ask me to come play with them, and I usually will. Whether it's a session or a live thing. I'm considering doing a solo guitar thing, sort of a Chet. I play a lot of Chet Atkins style stuff on my own time,
right?
Not in public as much. So I've been considering doing a solo guitar thing with maybe Das Bebo with Bebo Mill, but we're talking to them a little bit about that, or I'm talking to them a little bit about that. And I'm a big fan of like Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Chet Atkins and Merle Travis, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I put out a social media videos once in a while, and that stuff really seems to gather more interest than anything else I put out. So
sure,
just seems sort of, you know, logical to do.
Yeah.
So that may be happening here in the fall as well. And I do one-offs. I used to be in a bluegrass band called Cumberland Gap, and so the singer of that band, Greg Silsby, and I know we've got a date coming up in October, and I'll do duo stuff, or, you know, sometimes people ask me if I can put something together for a corporate show or this or that, and I'll pull on musicians, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I met Greg through Oyster Bar also, and
yep,
we talked about it. I know he's fairly recently put out a new record, and we talked about trying to get together, and so,
man, he's great. He's a guy that I met probably not long out of high school, and I met him in a coffee house. I was playing in a band in Belleville, sort of a Grateful Dead cover band, I think, and I was actually playing bass, and or maybe, I don't know, maybe I was playing guitar, but I met this guy. He's real tall and lanky, and he just gives me the key to his house and basically like, come stay with me for a week. He didn't know me. I mean, we had talked for 5 minutes. So I did. I brought my guitar, and we, you know, we listened to music and played music, and we just, it was sort of that, you know, that thing you read about or see in movies, you know, where we literally lived music for 7 days and didn't stop, you
right.
know. And we became long fast, you know, friends forever. And we played in Cumberland Gap, and, you know, we do duo stuff, and we opened for Sunbolt at Del Mar Hall last fall. He's open for Sunbolt on a handful of dates. And he's just a great singer, great guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, good guy all around.
Yeah, sure. Well, very cool. Well, there's a lot going on. Keeping busy, obviously, you know, between all these shows and guitars and working on everything, and... but this is it was cool. I'm glad you we made this work and everything. This has been exciting stuff to get to hang out and get to meet you and get to know a little more about your story.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We got the Lab on September 21st, 8 p.m. Sponsored by Heavy Riff Brewing Company. Come out and see a bunch of Tom Waits songs right here at Gaslight.
Yep, Tommy Halloran. And a group of friends.
Yeah, Tommy's he's a bad dude. He's a very talented guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
I love Tommy.
Yeah, he's just it's just so effortless for him. You know, it's just like
it's in him. You know, yeah. He's a troubadour. He can sew a song in a moment's notice.
Yeah,
and he's a good dad, and he's a good musician. I like him a lot.
Yeah, be cool to hear him doing some Tom Waits stuff.
It will, yeah. It'll be cool, and maybe get John Bonham in to do some stuff.
Yeah,
as we're talking, you know. But yeah, it should be fun.
Definitely, yeah. There's a Facebook event for the show. You can RSVP on that. I guess there's a Tritone Guitars page, right? Is there, or is this your personal?
I have Tritone Guitars business page, and then the personal page, and then I have a website.
Okay.
And I used to do a blog that I kind of let go of because I haven't had much time. I have a bad habit of starting and not finishing things. I used to write a column for 11 magazine when it was going, and then when that kind of quit, I sort of shifted that to a blog, but lately I haven't done that. Right. I need to get back on it.
Yeah.
But, Facebook's probably the best way to find out what's going on.
Sure. What do you have a piece of advice you for guitar players? I mean, like, what's the biggest thing you see that pet peeve, I guess, or anything?
A pet peeve?
Or anything? Like, is there any?
I don't know if I have a pet peeve about guitar players. Yeah. I mean, everybody's sort of, you know, everybody's different. It's sort of hard to explain. You're seeing a multitude of people do the same basic thing, you know, play the same instrument, but each has their unique twist on it and taste, you know. I kind of realized that when people sometimes ask me, well, who's the best guitar player in town or whatever, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know?
Well, like Rolling Stone does those lists like that, and I'm like, you know.
It's impossible.
It's like, how do you say that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you got Hendrix or whatever, you know, and all these guys, like, but like, how do you say this one's better than that? Like,
right.
It's all personal taste. And
locally, you have guys like Jimmy Griffin and, you know, Dave Black and you know, Brian Henneman and, you know, an array of guitar players, Curtis Brewer, he's not in town. Sometimes he is. And, you know, and hopefully I'm part of that group. I would like, you know, I'd like to be. And we're all different, you know, we all have our own takes on stuff, and that's sort of what keeps it interesting. If we all were the same, it would be boring,
right?
You know, nobody would want to listen.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if I have a pet peeve. No negatives, I guess.
What? Yeah. So, what would you? anything though for like a young guitar player that you would
listen? You know, that's listen.
Right.
Listen more. Don't worry about Don't worry about. Don't worry about notes. Listen more. Worry less. Play from what you're hearing. Make sonic bliss. You know, you know. Play, just play off the sound. Don't worry about, you know, notes. It's funny because when you're a kid, and this sort of kind of came up in discussions with the lab, where when you're a child, you're so encouraged to just make sound and take part in making sound, which is music, you know. And you think of like early classes of kids playing music and, you know, beating percussion instruments and playing along. And then that's sort of stripped away, and you're sort of, you know, you find, well, what instrument's correct for you? Well, you're good at the clarinet. Here's your clarinet. And then go practice your clarinet. And it's sort of like you've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other, where you're hyper-focused on sort of technically learning, and you lose that sort of listening part of it, you know? You're so worried about reading the notes or, you know, playing the instrument that you don't think about, like, well, what's the sounds I can make with this? Or how far can I take this?
Sure.
Or, you know? So the lab is sort of a way to get back to that primal instinct of making sound with each other.
Right, definitely.
So
I was also curious to if you had a single, if you could think of a single record that like changed what you thought of guitar. Like if you listen to one guy and you're like, man, I didn't know that was possible to play like that or whatever. I mean, obviously, talking about being a fan of Chet Atkins, I mean, he's...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been guitar players. I don't know if it's been an initial one album. You know, I mean...
Because, I mean, we're listening to Chuck Berry. He's one of the guys
right.
that kind of...
And, you know, and Chuck Berry was definitely on my radar.
Right.
I think when I was starting to play, it sort of... I was immediately drawn to playing a lead guitar. Always have been drawn to playing lead guitar. I learned to play lead before I learned how to play chords. So I could play solos, and I couldn't play rhythm for a long time. Well, not long, you know, early on. And in order to do that by ear, we lived out in the country. I'm from Southern Illinois, so I didn't, you know, it wasn't like go down the street to the guitar teacher or anything. So a lot of it was learned just from listening to the radio. A lot of it was listening to KDHX and blues shows early on when I was young. And, you know, so you play what you can, and you know, you sort of put aside what you can't deal with. You know, so like Hendrix, I could deal with, you know, like I had an admiration for that, but I was like, I can't execute that, so I'm going to put that over on the shelf and get back to that later. You know, but somebody like Chuck Berry or Albert King, those were artists that I could, you know, hone in on and cop some of those licks and start, you know, trying to emulate those sounds. And I don't know if there is one. You know, Neil Young it's a huge one.
Sure.
I don't know. It's probably a lot of the typical goods. You know, Chet Atkins was a huge one, or Doc. I would say Doc Watson, really, because I think that sort of style kind of hit me through Doc Watson more than just, you know, say Chet Atkins. The Beatles, you know, obviously is everybody's thing,
right?
And should be. Mike Campbell. I'm a huge Mike Campbell fan. You know, he's to me is sort of the epitome of a rock guitar player. He always plays everything right. He He never does anything wrong. He's just the perfect rock musician. He's never to excess. He never falls off stage. He never does, you know. He's always doing the right thing, and he sounds awesome, and he's effortless. So I don't know. There's too many. I can't list one.
Yeah.
I'm bad at those questions.
Well, yeah. I just think, like, you know, I feel like there's a, even me, like, you know, listening to music, sometimes you're like, you know, okay, yeah, this is, I understand this is what rock music is, or this is what blues, and you know, kind of get an idea. And all of a sudden somebody comes along and like totally flips on, and you're like, what? That's a real thing? That's a possibility?
Nels Klein, Mark Ribot, those guys were kind of like that for me at one point, I think. You know, I mean, I think I kind of grew up in the hair band era.
Right.
And, you know, Slash was on top of the world, and I had a respect for that, but I don't think I could really see myself executing it, so I wasn't really focusing on it.
Sure.
I kind of went the other way. I got more into jazz and more into blues, and I honed in on people like Miles Davis and Wes Montgomery.
Right.
There were just certain albums, I guess, I had throughout, and I've always been pretty eclectic. So I would get into, you know, Townes Van Zandt, and then I would get into Gram Parsons, and then I would go, who's playing guitar in that? And then I would get into, you know, Clarence White, and I would get into, you know, James Burton, and it would just kind of grow like that. And each time you discover somebody, you're like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Right.
Oh, okay. And then you kind of make the cross references. Oh, that person's doing what that person's doing, or trying to do that. And you know, you start just building the bag, but I change styles so frequently too. I mean, there was a point where I was just Pixies 24 hours a day, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to be Joey Santiago, and then I got into Dinosaur Jr. heavy, you know, and then I got into Primus, and then, you know, from there I got into Elliott Smith, or, you know, just on and on and on, and it kind of flowed around. And I was always a big Jayhawks fan, Gary Lawrence fan, and I was don't tell Brian Hinneman because I see him all daily basis, but before I knew Brian Hinneman, I was a big Brian Hinneman fan, you know, and I probably learned a lot of that stuff. That was sort of my bag early on. I was really big into the insurgent country and the sort of country rock, you know. I always, that's sort of probably my most comfortable spot is that kind of music, that Americana music.
Yeah, I love a lot of that myself. So,
luckily I get gigs with that, you know. I get to play pedal steel and guitar with a lot of bands like Ginny Ropes and Beth Bombara and different bands like, you know, Lee Summer, Chris Grabo, and you know, it's, I mean, people always say sarcastically, how you doing? I'm living the dream. Mike Tonk always says that, living the dream. But I kind of am living the dream, you know? I mean, I get to play with all these artists, and they ask me, and I mean, that's so humbling. It's nice, but I get to, you know, get to play on their albums, get to play on their shows, and what more would I mean, who wouldn't want to be asked to play on their albums,
right?
You know? So it's kind of it is living the dream.
Very cool. Yeah, man. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool to me, for sure. Getting to hang out with all these people and...
Trust me! Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
No, it is cool. Yeah. It is. It's great, you know.
Yeah, man.
And St. Louis, the musicians community here is... It's unbelievable. I mean, it's so many good musicians, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And everybody's really giving. Everybody wants to do stuff. They're not... I don't find them clicky. I don't find them, you know...
Yeah.
Abrasive to one another. Everybody's really, I mean, things like Whiskey War Fest go on because, you know, you have all those bands that want to do that, you
sure
know, and they just make it happen. It's,
yeah,
awesome.
I feel like there is a real sense, like, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of touring bands, you know, get and talk to people from New York or whatever in different cities and stuff, and they were like, it's not nearly the same in other markets, you know, in other cities. Like, it's really, some of these cities are very cutthroat, you know, and like not
right.
It's very, a lot of competition and stuff. And like, to see here in St. Louis, we have a community that's like welcoming and open arm to other players. Hey, we want to,
yeah,
let's come on and jam. Let's, you know, let's hang out and stuff. So I think that's where, you know, collaborating in all sorts of sense. You know, like saying putting festivals together or different stuff. You know, whatever.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, stuff like the Lab. I mean,
right,
you
for
know,
sure.
I don't know if you could do that. I mean, maybe you could, but. it's like St. Louis is the right size and it's the right community. You can make it happen and grow it really quickly, and, right. and people are willing to partake. That's, you know, and contribute. That's the key.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll let you get out of here, man. This has been fantastic getting to hang and talk with you and listen to some
thanks.
Chuck Berry.
I know, that's awesome, man. Yeah. I hope it's not overshadowed.
All right. But again, check out Tritone Guitars for your repair needs. Check out the lab here at Gaslight Monthly. We'll September 21st, 8 p.m. Come out and listen to some Tom Waits tunes with Tommy Holler and her friends. And, keep involved online for the next, maybe that TV show idea will come to fruition.
I hope so.
So, but thanks, Dave. This has been fantastic, man. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
I'll see you soon, man.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you.
Oh, and Death came knocking at your door. You were scared at first, but now the thought of returning to the earth brings you quiet peace somehow. When the priest came up to your room, it was truth he was trying to sell. But you both knew he didn't know what he was talking about. When I left the great love of my life, well, I had to be cold as hell. If you wanna know what death feels like, ask her, 'cause she can tell. I had epileptic seizures running through my tongue and mouth, so she never understood what I was talking about.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.